So I want to spend the rest of our time talking about new approaches, new agents, new strategies in the management of prostate cancer. I want to begin with a topic that you covered at the symposium, which is the issue of PARP inhibitors and BRCA mutations. Can you kind of go through that whole story? It's really amazing how that's evolved over the last couple of years. We're starting to see a similar story in other tumors. I think I mentioned pancreatic cancer. I'm starting to hear about this kind of strategy. What do we know about this in prostate cancer?
So once again, we have a lot of lessons to learn from breast cancer, Neil. And in breast cancer and ovarian cancer for several years now, we've heard about the success of a number of PARP inhibitors, but only for women that have germline mutations in one of these DNA repair genes, the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene. By the time the prostate cancer studies were beginning, we realized that there might perhaps be a more expanded panel of genes that could indicate sensitivity to PARP inhibitors. So when the prostate cancer studies began 4 or 5 years ago, instead of focusing only on BRCA1 and BRCA2, we decided to add ATM to the mix. We decided to add CHEK2 to the mix, PALB2, some of the Fanconi anemia genes. And these genes all belong to the same family, and they're called homologous recombination repair genes. Sometimes they're known as HR genes or HRR genes for short. And these genes help to fix DNA damage that results from double-stranded DNA breaks, which is the most lethal type of DNA damage. And the way that PARP inhibitors work is PARP inhibitors help to fix single-strand damage. So if you have a cell and it has a damaged piece of DNA, there's two ways that it can fix the DNA. One is to fix single-strand at a time, and the second is to fix both strands at once, double-strand repair. So it looks like you have to knock out both pathways to cause what is known as synthetic lethality, to cause cell death. So the double-strand pathway is knocked out genetically by one of these mutations. So if you have a tumor or a patient that has an inherited BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutation, that wipes out the double-strand repair pathway. So all you have to do in that case is knock out the single-strand repair pathway, and that cell can die. And the single-strand pathway is done by the PARP inhibition. So bottom line, PARP inhibitors are probably only going to work or are going to work best in patients that have one of these homologous repair genes. Probably BRCA2 is going to be in prostate cancer the most important. An interesting difference with breast cancer is, again, I'm not a breast cancer oncologist, but my understanding was at the germline level, BRCA1 and BRCA2 are just as common as each other. Maybe BRCA1 is a little bit more common. In prostate cancer, it's the opposite. BRCA2 is by far more common than BRCA1, both at the germline level, the inherited DNA, but also at the somatic level in the tumor. And one thing that we discovered about 3 years ago now, which was quite surprising, was the high prevalence of these genes in prostate cancer. If you think of the word BRCA, it stands for breast cancer 1 and breast cancer 2. It's a paradox because most men, when you talk to them and you tell them you've got the breast cancer 1 or the breast cancer 2 gene, they look at you as if you have two heads. And, you know, it was just the way that it was discovered in a female breast cancer patient. If that gene had been discovered in a prostate cancer patient, it may have been called PR1, you know, prostate cancer 1. But anyway, we have the name now and it's stuck. So anyway, getting back to the prevalence, it turns out that if you add them all up, if you add up all the homologous repair genes, the vast majority of which in prostate cancer are indeed BRCA2 and BRCA1, you get to about a 20% prevalence. If you only focus on BRCA1 and BRCA2 exclusively, even then, 10% of prostate cancers have one of those two gene mutations in the tumor.
That's actually higher than breast cancer, right?
It's higher than breast cancer, and that was, you know, the surprising thing. So we're talking about a very significant fraction of men.